is up, everybody? This is Billy with the American Detailer Garage, and you are listening to the Detail Solutions Podcast with my buddy Alex Russell.
No, it's I don't even know what it is here. Hang on a second, I'll tell you what it is here. It was like 40 something this morning, which is why I had my hoodie on. It's 64 right now, and it's still a little
chilly. Man.
So we'll get this started. So welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My guest this week is none other than Kill Bill Martin. How you doing, Bill?
Doing good. How you doing, Alex?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So obviously I just told everybody who you are, but let everybody know who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
Okay. Bill Martin, obviously, in Fort Collins, Colorado. I obviously detail and do some paint correction and coatings and stuff, but my mainstay is I do accounting and payroll services, tax returns, preparation for small businesses, personal returns, that sort of thing. So, that's pretty much nice. It.
Yeah. You know, Jason told me that the other day, and I was like, what? I thought he was a full-time detailer. He's like, wow. I was like, so obviously, same question I ask everybody. How, where, when did you get into detailing? Especially if you are an accountant, payroll person kind of deal. That's kind of opposite sides of the spectrum a little bit there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you know, I guess I've always had had a passion for doing things right and having things nice and that sort of thing. I did spend, 14, 15 years in the custom picture framing business, both working for other folks, and I did end up opening my own gallery at one point. So that's kind of where my background is. So you got to be real nitpicky and that kind of thing. And about 5 years ago or so, we ended up purchasing the orange Corvette. I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with that we have. And the paint was not in great shape. So in the process of, hey, let me learn about this and let me do this. And pretty soon I had a polisher in my hand and I was doing some stuff, and yeah, things just evolved, and I fell in love with the, I guess, process of paint correction.
Right. So how do you go from a custom framer to accounting and payrolling to detail? I mean, like now we're getting like crazy with the jumps. I mean,
it goes even deeper than that. I guess I did that, for quite a while, and ended up opening my own gallery. And I opened the doors of my gallery 3 weeks before September 11th, 2001.
Oh, yeah.
So as far as timing went on people spending what we'll call discretionary income, that made it hard to kind of keep within my business plan and make things work. So, a year and a half later, that wasn't panning out. Meanwhile, my wife was doing her own bookkeeping. She had transitioned from being an employee for somebody to, hey, why don't you take on that client instead of working for so-and-so and start your own business? Well, in that year and a half we were open, I noticed that her business had just a level upward trajectory.
Nice.
even during down times. And so my thought was, well, for bread and butter purposes, feeding the family, let's do something that's not so affected by the economy and that sort of thing. I refer to it as the diapers of the business world.
Right.
Because books and payroll and tax returns all need to be done regardless of whether we have a profit or a loss.
Yep.
So that just kind of sent me to schooling. I did a few other things in between, but that ended up sending me to do some schooling and whatnot. And then we ended up purchasing a practice, and there we are.
Oh, nice. So do you do the detailing full time, or is it part time? Or because taxes and payroll and everything are not usually, I mean, I guess payroll's year round, I guess, but taxes usually aren't. I mean, are you able to be a little more full time at certain times of the year and a little more part time?
Well, I guess with the volume that I do as far as detailing, because I'm only, you know, seeing maybe a couple cars a month, maybe three cars on a good month or so. It allows me to do a lot of my work at night if I need to, or put it off and rearrange my schedule and that sort of thing. So do I detail full time? No. Do I detail all the time? Yeah, sure.
Okay. Yeah. You're at least putting in more time than good old Ted. Right.
I try.
I love Ted, but it's funny, like sometimes you know, just the everybody rising on him. He seems like,
oh yeah.
He's a good guy. Yeah. So this question I wanted to ask you, but I was told by Bruno to ask you. How was it attending Camp Cormie? And can you tell us what went down at Camp Cormie? Because Jason thought he might have a theory of what you might say. So this is.
Oh, well, yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Cormie, and how did that come about? Like, how, you know, because that that was right around the time I really started getting into Paint Assassin. So I kind of missed.
Okay.
To me, it just kind of seemed like y'all were there. So how did that
Well, you know, like many others have done through different groups and whatnot, I had reached out to Cormie a couple of times asking some questions and that sort of thing. And we ended up chatting on the phone and whatnot. And we just kind of hit it off as, hey, you know, we got the same work ethic, it sounds like. And we seem like, you know, we're just of like personality types and whatnot. And we just... yeah, I said, man, I'd love to come out there and work with you and train under you or whatever. And he was up for the idea. So we just made it happen. I went out there for, oh gosh, it was 10 days I was out there. So we've worked for a solid eight and a half days, 70 plus hours side by side with Captain Cormie.
Yeah.
yeah, there were some joking and whatnot after the fact that there was some weird lights going off and touching and stuff, but that was all in good fun.
Right. how was it overall? I mean, getting to work with those guys, because I mean it was legitimately some of, you know, the top guys in the group were there, right?
Right.
Vincent was there. You were there. I think Tyler was there.
Yeah. Thomas Kearney and Vincent and Jason. And yeah, it was, that was the second round of Camp Cormie for me. I had actually gone out there about 6 months or so prior to that. And that's when I did that 8 days and all that. And then it just sounded like so much fun to our little group of buddies. And so we went out and rented an Airbnb and kind of crashed Lake Charles and had some fun with Chris. And yeah, it was an absolute blast to work with all those guys. They're all top notch,
right?
Excellent people.
So you've witnessed firsthand that it's really Ashton that does all the work, right? It's not just rumors.
I watched it for days. I've even got pictures. Yeah.
And I heard Bruno just sat around doing nothing most of the time.
Bruno had some
issues.
Yeah. Of some sort. Yeah.
He always has issues. So you are nominated for Paint Correction of the Year. Congratulations.
You're also
nominated for Paint Assassin of the Year. Congratulations. What were your initial thoughts, you know, when you found out that you were nominated for Paint Assassin of the Year? Because, I mean, we all kind of know, you know, we won Paint Correction of the Month. We know we're going to be in Paint Correction of the Year. So that's kind of like a, you know, a no-brainer. But, you know, when Jason sent you a text or gave you a call or however you, first of all, how did you find out? And then, like, what were your thoughts about it?
Oh, well, I guess I found out when Jason put the post out of who I was involved in. I just absolutely floored that I would be considered among the ranks of the people that are in that group. I mean, just holy wow. absolutely humbling and just, yeah, can't believe that I'm in with these ranks.
Right. That's, I actually was lucky enough to get a phone call. I think me and Bruno were talking about, he had called me or I called him and we were talking about something else. And he kind of was like, hey, just so you know, it'll be posted tomorrow, but you were nominated. And I was like, what? And then, then I see I'm up against like, I'm up against you. I'm up against Cormie. I'm up against Michael McCarthy. Justin is in that group with us too. And I was like, oh my God, like, give me a break, you know? And I know the voting's over, so we can't say, hey, go vote for us. But I hope you did well.
I hope the
same. I hope you didn't do as well as I did, but
yeah.
You screwed me out of paint correction of the year last year. Your photo was the one that knocked me out. So I'm still not wishing you any good luck on these competitions too much.
Yeah, that's if you would have asked me, you know, told me 2 years ago that I would have been up for that, I just would have told you were crazy. It's right. It's pretty cool for sure. Right.
Yeah, no. That's how I feel about it too. And I even, I've been trying so long for just paint correction of the month, that, you know, now that I got it, I told Bruno, like, I don't feel like I need to enter it anymore. I really only wanted to just get it to get it. And then now going up against all you guys for paint correction of the year, I was digging in the archives. I'm not lying. I had to go back a little bit to even find a picture that I thought was worthy, because I don't get many bad things to do. And I don't know what you entered. Please don't say, because I know Jason's having a whole thing right now about, you know, it's supposed to, although I told him I'm sorry, Jason, I know you're listening to this, but I told him his plan was failed, but I know he's trying to make it fair for everybody and easy to do.
Sure.
But I don't know if you posted it because I didn't recognize any of the pictures, but I was under the impression, I'm not gonna lie, I was under the impression that you were gonna post that red truck that you did a while back. And when I kind of heard that, I was like, oh, well, why are we even entering then? Because Bill's got this hands down. That red truck was a piece until you got a hold of it.
Are we talking about the red
the one you had to sand to, like, it had like nasty?
Yeah, that was an actual it was actually a Del Sol, a Honda Del Sol.
Oh, it was a Del Sol. Why was I thinking it was a truck? I don't know. It was red.
That was peacefully bad. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I had like a terrible paint job on it, and you just made it look like what? So
we made it look better anyway.
Yeah. Who, and I know you kind of mentioned with Cormie, but who are some detailers that you look up to, or have helped you along, mentored you, or given you advice, or whatever, if you have any?
Man, you know, there's so many out there. I'm constantly watching and looking at people's posts and look at the information that's being given and this kind of thing. I mean, and it's, you know, Matt Gwynn and yourself and Bruno and Cormie, obviously, and it's just so many people to mention, you know. Vincent around some amazing work, and I just try to pick up on every little bit and piece of information that I can, whether I use it or not. Right. It's just building information. And yeah, I've learned so much from so many people, that the whole group is kind of a big, huge mentor for me, really.
Right. And that's how I feel. And it's crazy, you know, like, a lot of times, I mean, just in talking with you, I mean, you know, we've messaged or commented on things and know each other a little bit, but not much. Mm. And again, that's why this podcast is here, is because people that I want to sit down to and have a conversation with. I mean, learning that you just got into this like 5 years ago, on just because your car looked like garbage, so to speak. You know, like, that's the thing that I find by doing this podcast and talking to people that kind of blows my mind. Like, you know, you tell me that 5 years and I'm like mind blown, you know, because, you know, for the work that you're putting out and again, a lot of these people, like I look up to them. I look up to you guys. I see the work. It drives me to be better. And I'm like, man, you know, like these guys, you know, just been hammering it for years. And then I find out that everybody's been doing it for almost as long as I have, 5 years. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, you know, like we're all in this together. And,
right.
So it's kind of amazes me, like the growth in this industry that you could do in such a short time. And I know I've gotten a lot better since when I first started 5 years ago. Hell, I think I've 2 years since I've been in Pain Assassins, I think my skill level has gone way up. And again, it's
for sure.
you all of you guys that I thought have been doing it for way longer than me pushing me to be better. And really we're all taking the same steps at the same time kind of deal. That's
awesome. It is really cool. And you know, the talent, and I'm sure you've noticed too, even from 2 years ago, obviously there's always been some amazing talent in that group, but it seems like within the last year and a half or so, the talent in Pain Assassins has just gotten so deep.
Right.
I mean, there's so many amazing submissions and amazing posts and stuff in there of work that's just phenomenal. So
right, and I get why Jason's doing these blind things and survey things or whatever for these bigger competitions, because honestly, I mean, when I scroll through Pain Correction of the Month, I'm like, oh, there's a winner. Oh no, wait, hang on, there's the winner. Oh no, nope, right. Nope, this one's the winner. You know, it's like you know, it's so crazy how good everybody has gotten. And it's you know, like I tell Bruno all the time, like, you know, dude, I don't want your job of, I mean, I know he doesn't pick Pain Correction of the Month, but I mean, even the have to try and figure it out, so to speak, you know.
No, I definitely do not envy Jason in that part of his job.
Exactly. So this is my dinner party question. So who is somebody, and it doesn't have to be detailing, it could be live or dead, who is somebody that you would like to sit down with and pick their brain, have a conversation with, or whatever?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. And I know I was supposed to think about that a little more before. But, yeah, I don't know. Man.
See, that's why I like this question, because it kind of puts people on the spot a little bit, and it makes you really think to try to come up with a good answer.
Oh, well, there's just so many different levels,
right,
of why you would want to talk to different people,
right,
and
exactly,
whatnot. Yeah. Man, I'm just going to say I'd like to sit down for an hour with Hunter S. Thompson.
Hunter S. Thompson. Wait, I know the name. Who is that?
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, yep. Okay.
Author. Yeah. Yep. I think that would be quite an interesting conversation.
Yeah, you might. Yeah. It'll definitely be interesting. you might need some kind of recording device or whatever to go back and try to piece everything together afterwards. He was kind of an out there guy.
That in a therapy session, perhaps.
So what are some of your goals for 2021?
Oh, my goals for 2021. You know, obviously always liking to increase business a little bit and keep things afloat there. But I think for 2021, I'm going to shoot for a little more of a work-life balance. It just seems like between all the things that I do for everyone I do them for, and myself included, there just could be a little more fun to be had, I reckon.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the big things I'm always talking about, especially with Bruno, you know, because Bruno always makes fun of me about how I you know, quick to get out of the shop. But ultimately at the end of the day, it's, you know, I want to put in and do my work. I want to earn a comfortable living. But I'm not that guy that's just trying to churn and burn and make, you know, a bajillion dollars detailing. I want to live comfortably, but live comfortably at home. Comfortably at a shop, you know. No, that's awesome. That's one of your goals. How about any chemicals or new products or anything like that you want to try in 2021 or you know, add on services? I don't know if you do any PPF or tenting or,
you know, PPF has been something that's been on the plate for a while in the back of my mind anyway. That would be a great add-on service for me to be able to do, because here in Colorado we have our snow, which means we have sand and rocks and all that good stuff on the road, and the front end of cars just get destroyed. So to offer even just a basic front end PPF package would be so advantageous and just a great upsell I'm at. But again, it's the logistics and getting to a class, because I don't think it's something that I want to try and learn all the tricks of the trade by myself. And
I did training with one of the trainers who used to work for Eastman, which is the company that makes SunTek and Lumar, and he was like the Southeastern or East Coast trainer or whatever. I did the training with him and I still feel like it wasn't enough. There's just, it's getting the basics. I understand, like, once you get the basics, like, it's kind of the same for everything, but every car has such different intricate details that I don't even think training does. It's just practice. And I don't know if you listened to the episode with Steve and Trap. But you know, he had the great thing, you know, just when you get into PPF, just take $5,000 and throw it away, because that's pretty much what you're gonna do.
that's your practice fund, right?
I mean, I'm so far I'm on like a $2,000 roll that I have hardly made any money back on, but I feel the practice is really what I'm paying for there.
Yeah.
No, but that's cool. What's a detailing pet peeve of yours? Whether somebody who does something that you see that you're just like, ugh, or something that that a customer does that makes it, you know, harder for you on detailing or something like that. What's a pet peeve? This is a new question. I'm trying.
Okay, I guess.
I'll check it out.
My big customer pet peeve anyway happened this year when I was working on a Ford Explorer, polishing the gas tank lid, the fuel door lid. And they have the little spring activated, push it in and it pops out, push it in and it locks down.
Yep.
And some reason, the vibration or whatever it was from polishing on that, the little clicker part quit working and the door would no longer stay shut.
Oh.
And that was $200+ bill that I had to eat because I touched it last.
You know, I've never thought about that. You know, I mean, they always annoy me. I mean that BMW I posted up yesterday or the day before, whenever it was, that I worked on this week. You know, that's the same way. And for me, it wasn't really the vibration. It was just, you know, you move the polisher past it one way and you're putting pressure on it. So then it pops up and you go to go back and you have to kind of catch yourself so you don't, you know, rip it off. But I've never thought about like actually breaking it or.
Yeah. Having the mechanism fail under your polisher.
Yeah. You know, it's like the, you know, we used to get it all the time at the car wash, you know, when you get in the car to move the car and the battery, you know, the battery's dead. And we're like, well, what'd you do to it? It started fine this morning for me to drive to the car wash. It's like, all right.
Yeah, so I guess that was a pain in the ass, but that, and the term buff, I guess, drives me nuts.
Oh, I say it all the time still.
Yeah, buff and wax.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird general term.
I know. I still say, I catch myself saying it sometimes. But again, I quote unquote buff and waxed cars more longer than I've done paint correction. So like it still pops out every now and then. And that's a good term. Everybody loves that term. Yeah. So what's one of your greatest achievements in detailing? Like and it could be, you know, like maybe getting a car that, you know, you never thought you'd get, or maybe it's winning paint correction of the month, or, you know, whatever.
I don't know. I don't know if you'd call it an achievement or not, but I think one of the coolest things that I had the opportunity to do was to go out with Team Shine and detail or polish the B17 Miss Angela back last March. That was super, super cool. It was a group of 20 guys and all volunteering our time and took this nasty aluminum B17 bomber and made it sing. And that was a cool project to be a part of.
That's nice. That's just, yeah. So it's similar to kind of like what Rennie does with the presidential.
The Air Force One.
Yeah, the Air Force One team. Yeah.
Yeah, similar idea, just the, but my father fought in World War II, which was the era of these bombers. And there was a little bit of sentimental tie to it or whatever. It was just a super cool project to be on.
Right. So how was buffing, polishing a plane compared to cars? Was it anything different? Did you have to get a little bit of a crash course first, or was it just, hey, here's some patent product and go to town?
A little bit of both, you know. I mean, we weren't going for, you know, 1,000% kind of correction. It was just this, you know, old oxidized aluminum, let's make it at least have some sort of a reflection in it. And I'd rather polish paint. To be perfectly honest, it's very rewarding because, you know, obviously the turnaround from having a dull gray, non-reflective, opaque surface to holy cow, I made a mirror out of it is pretty rewarding, but it's dirty.
Yeah.
And it's very labor intensive and just not. I wouldn't want to do it on the daily, but it was fun.
Right. I give credit to a lot of the people that do metal polishing. Renee, the buffing queen. She does so much of that stuff. I like seeing her Instagram stories and stuff when she's doing that. But, you know, man, she takes her mask off and she's like, like covered in soot, and you only see the whites in her eyes, so to speak. And some of the, you know, some of the other guys that do that, Tommy Jaroski, I hope I'm saying that.
Yeah.
He's not too far from me, and he's been doing a lot of that lately too. In fact, I think he even just went and did a class or something like that recently. But he's always
working on an Airstream or something.
Yeah. I mean, he's always, you know, showing the picture of, you know, his face is blacked off for where the goggles and the respirator was. So, I mean, I give those guys a lot of credit and girls a lot of credit because I don't know, man.
It's dirty work.
I think it might be fun for one time. And then I'd kind of be like, all right, that was cool.
that's kind of what I got out of it.
So when you're detailing, and this is something that I think I get that everybody's different, but I want to get your take on it. So when you're detailing a car, what level of perfection are you shooting for? I mean, are you trying to get it as close to 100% as you possibly can? Or are you kind of one of those guys that's like, 75% is good because that's about 100 for a client. You know, and that I'll rock and roll with that. Where do you kind of take it? I'm just curious on your take.
I argue with myself every job. You know, even if the customer were, you know, they're not looking for 100%, they're looking for a good solid one step, you know, that 75-80% range. And it just kills me. I can't see stuff and just walk away from it, even though, you know, I know it's just, it's killing my bottom line. It's wasting my time. It's all this other stuff, but I just can't, it just yeah. drives me nuts. So yeah, I tend to always overdo.
You're the same as me, because I'm that way too. I don't do many of my and I don't call them one steps. I actually stole the term from, or the not the term. I think I made it my own term, but I stole the idea from Aaron Knox when he was telling me about it, and so I call them hyper polishes, because I'll still do a two step. But I'm not spending the, I try not to spend the time correcting it. I try to do, you know, a quick pass on the compound. So I am cutting a little bit better, or a little bit more, I guess, than maybe a one step would get you. But then I'm just going back real quick with a polish, you know, and it's just, you know, just polishing it just enough to make it pop, and then throw a silica sealant on it or something like that. But yeah. I'm the same way. Like, even though I'm only charging enough money, and I, you know, I know that I've only got, you know, half a day to do that car, I'm kind of the same thing. I get caught up, you know, trying to get that last little scratch out that won't come out or whatever.
Yeah, I found on a couple of jobs I've had to go ahead and pull the lights back, yeah. You know, a good 8-10 feet, and I guess what I call trust the process. Yep. You know, we've already done the test panel. We know what the results were on the test panel. Let's do the same pattern and process throughout right. the rest of the vehicle. And it comes out how it comes out. But that's yeah. so hard for me to do.
It's the same way. And I tried to take the Brian Guy approach. I mentioned this before. You know, he had a really good I don't know if it was a sales pitch or whatever, but he told me one time, he said, you know, cause I asked him, like, how did you do things? And he said, well, he said, my prices didn't go off of the job that I did. It went off of which lights they wanted me to turn on. So if they were only wanting to pay this much, he said, I only use my overhead lights and whatever I could get.
That's perfect. My overhead lights.
He said, if they wanted to pay this much, a little bit more or whatever, he said, then I would turn on the wall lights. And then he said, if they wanted the max, he said, then I got out my lights and my handheld and all that stuff. And
love it.
Right. I thought it was great, because again, you're not dictating, I guess, like, I mean, you kind of are, the level of the job, but of what you're doing, but you're doing it based off of what you're going to see essentially in certain lights.
Right.
And that's what I've started to try to do. Even though I've added all those lights in my shop, I've kind of gotten to the point where, like, okay, well, it's only this job, you know, a hyper polish. So I'm only using the lights in the shop. And then if it's a little bit better of a correction process, then I'm using my scan grip or I'm using my handheld. Kind of deal, but kind of right. like what you said, a lot of times, you know, like you said, hey, we've done the test panel, I know that it's going to pull out, let's just rock and roll and see where it flies.
Right. Maybe do a check every other panel or something.
Kind of the same thing. So what, and I'm stealing this from Jason, what do you think is the difference between paint enhancement and paint correction? Or is there a difference?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would boil it down to as simple as, you know, if regardless of the condition of the paint, a paint enhancement is going to be a quick one step to make it look better. And, you know, a full correction obviously is going to be doing whatever it takes to make it as good as you can get it without doing ugly stuff.
Right. non-detailing question. So, sorry guys, I just lost train of thought. You're with your bookkeeping and accounting. Is that something that you and your wife are only doing for certain people? Or is this something that if some of these detail guys say, hey, you know what? I need somebody to do my bookkeeping. We got to you. Do you just stay local, I guess, is what I'm asking? Or do you have clients that maybe are anywhere?
I do have a small handful of clients who reside in other states that we do everything electronically and take care of stuff for them. In most situations, it works out just fine. And yeah, I would certainly take on other clients. In the situation of like California or Washington State, and there's probably a few others, they have some special state rules that are a little beyond my realm of expertise and probably wouldn't benefit the clients as well for me to handle their stuff as someone who's more maybe well-versed with their state laws and stuff.
Right.
In most cases, the state just follows the federal return and it's a fairly easy, straightforward setup. So
that's cool. Yeah. No, I mean, you never know sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm always there if somebody's got a question or something about, you know, hey, how does this work or how, what's the implication of that or how should I set up these books or, you know, I'm always there. Reach out, shoot me a message, give me a call, whatever.
Yeah. So when they all want to know where to put their cash on one books and the credit cards on the other, everybody can reach out.
Cash doesn't go on books, Alex.
I know it goes in your pocket. Just kidding. A little FBI guy in my computer right now.
Right.
All right. So interiors or exteriors?
Exteriors.
All day, every day, right?
All day. Since my son's not working with me anymore, I don't do interiors.
Okay. I was even going to ask you. I mean, obviously, I think I only ever see you post really in Paint Assassins. So, and I know Jason's very, you know, it's paint, so we don't do any interior stuff, so I didn't even know if you did any to begin with.
I've done a bit of it, but yeah, not my that's not where I have fun.
Gotcha. Rupes or flex?
Rupes.
So I guess this one, I guess I'll kind of know the answer for since you don't do interiors, but windows or washing and folding towels?
Windows.
Oh, really? You're like me. I'd rather do windows. Me, you, and Pam so far are the only three that picked windows.
My towels go into a plastic trash bag until they're dirty. They go into a different trash bag and go to the laundry. They don't get folded.
So you're more like Steven. So Steven Trapp said they go from a 55 or from a 35 gallon or whatever container to the washing machine, to the dryer, back in, and then into the shop because he doesn't have time to fold towels.
I don't find the need.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I mean, I'd like for them to be folded nice and neat and presented.
It looks great, yeah.
Yeah. When you've got that many towels, it's kind of like, why am I doing this?
Exactly.
Sun shots or lighted shop shots?
Sun shots, love them.
Nice.
True tell for sure.
Yeah, that's how I feel. Lately though, and it's the whole, you know, the Cormie is one of the big influences on why I decided to flood my shop with lights. I will say that in a lighted shop, a polished out car, coated car, sealed car, whatever you're putting on it, does tend to have that glossier, wetter look to it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, from a customer standpoint, I would say a lighted shop because that's just going to look that much more appealing. But from a let's judge how you did on that, sun shot's going to do it every time.
Yeah, and that's why I'm so glad I live in sunny Florida because there's... Some people like Cormie that says it rains every day in Lake Charles, that he can't ever get a sunshine. I'm like, dude, the sun never shines in Lake Charles. You're hiding behind your lights. I know.
Yep.
Actually, I'm talking to Cormie next week, so I might call him out on that.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Not that I think you've ever done this. So again, I might already know the answer, but mobile or shop?
Shop.
Yeah. Left Twix or right Twix?
Left. It's the only side of my brain I can use.
Wax or ceramic?
Ceramic.
Okay. Why? Just curious.
Longevity.
Okay.
For show cars, I'd say wax, but for day to day, every day, for 98% of the vehicles.
No, I'm with you. I agree totally with you. I think show cars, high end cars that are just gonna kind of sit in a garage for most of their life. I think wax, like Pam mentioned when I talked to her, just has that warmer glow to it. To me, ceramic has that punch in the face. Gloss.
Right.
And the most important one, Team Alex or Team Noxie?
Sorry, bud.
I mean, he is what he is, whatever.
Yeah. For longer, I guess.
Yeah. It doesn't hurt my feelings anymore. I mean, I'm getting used to it, guys. No, I'm so, man, that's all she wrote. That's about close to 45. So good. We did some time. Snowing in the background, huh?
Yeah.
A lot of snow or just a little bit. I mean, it's hard to see. Hard to see now because now it's dark, but earlier when we started out, you could see it falling.
Yeah, just a couple inches. It started last night and lasted through the day to day, just a very light snow, some couple inches. And yeah, nice. Supposed to get some more tomorrow night. We'll see how it goes. Tis the season.
No, I mean, that's nice. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I've never seen snow. So in person, I'm
changed. I guess the snow to me is all about change of seasons. And that's why I like Colorado as much as I do.
Gotcha.
Born and raised in sunny Southern California, where it's 70 degrees every day, all year round. And to have the change of seasons and to have spring come around and things come back to life and that whole cycle of things is just, I truly enjoy it.
Well, that's nice. So here's a bonus question, I guess. And it's one that I really kind of ask most of people up north. I don't know why I didn't throw it in with yours. How does the snow affect your business? And you know, granted, you're technically, I guess, part-time detailer. So if you're not doing anything, it's not like it's killing you like some people. But do you still get jobs frequently enough, even when it's wintertime, or is that typically slow down time for you?
Well, as low as my volume is, it doesn't seem to slow down that much. I guess what I would say, I probably get less people asking.
Okay.
And you always get this pre-winter fall thing where it's okay, I need to get it done before winter comes. Or it's, I'm going to put it off until next spring and have it done after all this stuff. Yeah. And that's the game that everybody plays. And it's just kind of you should do it now. But
no, I got you. When I used to manage a car wash, I had a service rider that I really had to rein in a lot. Because obviously he was paid on commission. So he would want to sell, you know, and you know, anytime, especially being here in Florida, summertime, it rains every afternoon. You know, anytime he was trying to sell a wax or sell a detail service, you know, you'd get like, well, it's going to rain later today, you know? And so his reply to one client that got me called to the office and I had to go and yell at him was he told this client with a straight face, so when you get done taking a shit, you don't wipe your ass? You shit later.
Yeah, I guess that sounds.
do it before, do it after. I mean, I guess you know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and as low volume as you do, do you typically book far out, or do you only take a little bit at a time kind of deal.
I don't have that much action going on, to be honest with you. I get them and get them done, and the next one comes along in a week or two and get that one done and just keep moving on. But okay. I've been booked out for, you know, 3 weeks or whatever, but that's about it.
All right. Works for me. If anybody wants to get a hold of you to either learn some detailing stuff from you, or if anybody wants to get a hold of you to maybe ask you some bookkeeping questions, where are they finding you at? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, OnlyFans, Snapchat?
I'm 50.
I'm 47, dude. Who cares? You gotta be on where you gotta be where it's at, man.
Right? Yeah, Facebook's pretty much. I mean, I have an Instagram, but there's not much going on, and I probably couldn't even quote you the tag on it. So yeah, my Facebook is the best way to get a hold of me and just shoot me a message.
And that's just Bill Martin. On Facebook, right?
Bill Martin on Facebook, yep. Or you can go to Colorado Shines LLC is my business page. So,
okay. Awesome. Yep. Well, Bill, man, I appreciate it. It was a pleasure to kind of finally talk to you face-to-face and not just through comments ragging on Cormie or whoever else that we goes through. And again, good luck, even though I hope you don't win. On all your things that I'm up for with you.
Yes, thank you.
at the end of the day, it was a pleasure to be nominated, I guess.
Exactly.
Congratulations on those things, man. I mean, I know some people might look at it like it's just a Facebook group, but when you look at the competition in that Facebook group, it's not just a Facebook group. It's some of the best of the best. So
yeah, it's I kind of go after these contests and all this stuff as kind of all in good fun, but in all reality it truly is just awesome to be nominated and to win some of these. So yeah, really, really cool. Oh,
definitely. I'm gonna be super pissed if I don't win. I'm just saying that right now. If you want to rig it for me or whatever, but you know, yeah, it's nice to be nominated, but that competitiveness in me is like, damn it, I want to win.
I think Bruno's got Venmo or something. I'm not sure. You have to chat with him.
Yeah, I know. You know, he's not too far away. I might have to go, you know, pay a visit and hang out with him, you know, take him to dinner or something.
Sure.
I could never do that. Now watch me win and everybody will go, oh, you're on the podcast. I'm like, Brian Bruno. Yeah, right? I actually didn't know which pitcher to pick. So I sent Bruno three pitchers and I said, hey man, just whichever one you want to throw up. I don't care. Like I can't there. So I told Bruno, I said, if I lose, I said, no, I'm going to blame you for picking the wrong pitcher.
Well, sure. That's perfect.
Yeah. Cause then I don't have to worry about it. I'd be like, see, dude, right. If you would have picked another one, I would have won.
Awesome.
Yeah. But, all right, buddy. I'm gonna let you get back to it. I'm gonna go eat some dinner. Again, thank you for stopping by and doing this.
Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Russell. Yeah. Really, really cool, Alex.
All right. I'll talk to you later, Bill. Have a good night.
Yes. Enjoy the rest of your evening, bud.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.